You're tuned to Perspectives, a weekly public affairs show which airs every Saturday right here on KTEP. And joining us today on Perspectives is Mary Higgins Clark. Mary Higgins Clark is the New York Times bestselling award-winning novelist, and she is no stranger to people who love mystery and thrillers. Mary Higgins Clark has collaborated with Alifair Burke for her latest novel, and it's called The Cinderella Murder. Mary, thank you very much for being with us here today.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Louie. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Now, as I mentioned, a lot of people know your work, and just to tell you a story, a couple of weeks ago, I was talking to a college student, and I mentioned that I was going to interview you soon, and she said, oh, when I was younger, I read one of her books, and it scared the heck out of me.
Good. Oh, that is such a pleasure to hear, Louie.
Yes, it is. You like scaring people, don't you?
But, you know, I never use explicit sex or violence. Because I think to engage the mind is where true scariness comes in. You know, if you're lying in bed and the house is locked up, and then suddenly you hear footsteps on the stairs, and ice cold your fingers fumble for the cell phone, and you drop it, and you see the door turning, and your little nightlight goes out. Now that, to me, is the way to scare people.
You just scared me, Mary. That was very good. And you are absolutely correct. You don't need explicit sex to scare people.
Alfred Hitchcock did some of the scariest movies. And you know that 14-second moment in Psycho when you don't see the girl's body touched. You see her silhouette in the shower. You see his eye. You see the knife coming out. And then you never see him touch her. And then you see blood running down the shower. And with all the technical things they can do today, they have voted that the scariest 14 seconds ever recorded.
Tell us about how you got interested in scary stories and in writing. You know, as kids, we always would tell our mom, dad, tell us a scary story. And of course, you know, they would come up with something. Sometimes they would read us a story. But most of the time, if it was your grandpa or your uncle, they would make up a story. Tell us about your growing up and scary stories.
Well, you know, the funny part of it is I never had grandparents. I mean, they were dead before I was alive. But it was in my own psyche, because I remember when we'd get together with friends, you know, and we'd be sitting after dinner, and I would say, let's turn out all the light and just light one candle, and let's tell scary stories. So what can I say? It was just in me from day one.
Did you start writing as a child?
I was always writing. I mean, from the time I was six, I was writing poetry. Not very good, but some of it not bad at all. And I was writing skits and making my brothers perform in them. I would write plays and have the neighborhood kids perform. And we did them in our garage. And my mother gave us an old velvet curtain for the stage. But I was just always writing.
You sound like me and my daughter making our siblings and the neighborhood kids do stuff.
Yeah, God, those were the good old days when you could just run around and be in the neighborhood and be home before dark. It's gone. It's a lot different today.
So let's talk a little bit about that, because some of your books do deal with people who disappear. And in this day and age, as you mentioned, it's not safe for children to play outside. Our mothers wouldn't think anything of, you know, sending us to the store on our bikes or whatever to get a gallon of milk, loaf of bread. But now you can't do that.
No, you can't. I mean, kids have to have play dates. I mean, we were in a very pretty area. I'm from the Bronx in New York, and it was country. There was actually a farm around the corner, if you can believe it. But the kids played, and the fathers all put their cars away down the driveway. So the street was a playground. I mean, I remember jumping rope and all the kids' games that we did until twilight came. And when I went sleigh riding with my brothers, I was pulling my little brother on the sleigh, and my older brother was on his sleigh ahead of us. He led the way. And my mother said, make sure Johnny keeps the button of his coat tightened and be home before dark. And that's the way it was. They never worried about you, just be home before dark. And, of course, obviously, in a fit of fury, you wouldn't let a kid go out in broad afternoon by himself.
We are visiting with New York Times bestselling author Mary Higgins Clark. Mary Higgins Clark has recently co-written a novel with Alifair Burke. It is called The Cinderella Murder. And tell us a little bit about your collaboration with Alifair.
Well, it started this way. My last book was called I've Got You
Under My Skin.
And that was in April. And the basic plot was a young producer and has her concept of gathering suspects in an unsolved murder and putting them on television to give their version of what happened that night. Now, in that book, four 21-year-olds had stayed overnight at the home of one of the girls, and in the after a gala party, and then in the morning, the mother is found murdered, and each one of the four girls had a reason to murder her. And they liked the premise so much, that book was quite successful, they said, we want to do a series of Under Suspicion, where the same producer and her two assistants get another group of people to come and give their versions on television of what happened the night someone died. And we thought it was a good idea, and Alifair came up with the idea. She saw a story about a college student who years ago had been going to a meeting, and she never made it, and her body was found the next day. She had lost her shoe trying to escape, and the press called it the Cinderella murder. And we did not write about that girl. We completely created a situation in which a 19-year-old is on her way. She's going to be interviewed by a producer. She's an aspiring actress, and she never reaches his home. And all these years later, it has not been solved. And the mother goes to Laurie, the producer, and said, please open this case. If she was my only child, maybe you can get the truth out. And that's the Cinderella murder.
We're visiting with Mary Higgins Clark. She has collaborated with Alifair Burke and written her latest novel, The Cinderella Murder. I didn't mention a lot about Alifair Burke at the beginning, but Alifair is the best-selling author of 10 novels, including the thrillers Long Gone, If You Were Here, and the latest in the Ellie Hatcher series, All Day and a Night. A former prosecutor, she now teaches criminal law and lives in Manhattan. And from what I understand, Alifair is just fascinated with crime and interesting about, you know, crime. Solving.
Oh, yes. I mean, we both have the same lust, God help us, for creating suspense and writing about it and doing a very good job in the sense that we both are researchers. You know, if, for example, this book is set at UCLA, and if you set it in, let's say, late June, you would know that the school would be closed by then. You know, you have to be right about all the tiny little details that make the difference between good writing and a sort of flash-in-the-pan stuff. You have to be right about what you do. For example, I have two detectives, and if I'm doing a book in New York, in Manhattan, they're retired, and I will send them a chapter of every as I'm writing it. And one time they called me up and they said, listen, Mary, you have a detective walking in the rain. We do not walk in the rain. We have a car. You have the detective holding an umbrella. He said, we do not carry umbrellas. We may have to reach for our guns. So obviously I made the changes. But I think those little details are what give fiber to a book.
And I think you're absolutely right, because sometimes in television or in a movie, if I haven't been a journalist, TV journalist for a long time, and now I'm in academia, the fact that you see something on TV and you go, that's not the way they do it. And you yourself as a writer, you can say, wait a minute, that's not the way it works. And so people pay attention to those little things.
People are smart. And if I put a book out, I don't want someone to say that couldn't happen. I mean, today, of course, you have to keep up with technology. The cell phone. In this book, because the crime is 20 years old, the girl has a cell phone, but it's not near her. It's not the way they would work today to establish it. It was just the beginning of cell phones. I just wrote a novella set in 1972, I guess, and of course I couldn't have a cell phone. You came in on the Pan Am Clipper. you know, things were different.
We're speaking with Mary Higgins Clark, New York Times bestselling author, and her latest novel is The Cinderella Murder. Mary, tell us a little bit about, you just mentioned novella, and a lot of people may not know the difference. It's, what is a novella? What is a short story, ebook, Kindle book? And novella, as you know, is Italian for novel or Spanish for novel.
Well, a novella, that book is 110 or 20 pages. It's short, so it's really not a novel. It's a novella. It will be published with other short stories in next summer. And it was a story I started, if you're ready for this, 40 years ago, better than 40 years. And I put it aside because I couldn't figure out how to finish it. I wrote 50 pages and just put it aside, and I started Where Are the Children? Thank God. But then my son found it. He was rummaging through all the old stories. And he said, you know, this is really good. I called it Death Wears a Beauty Mask. So I spent the summer working on it, and now it's going to come out next summer with other short stories, so that you'll have a book that's 300 pages or so.
Mary Higgins Clark is our guest. Her latest novel is The Cinderella Murder. Mary, you've written many books over the years, and a lot of people associate you with thrillers, mysteries, scary books. There was one book that came out not too long ago, and I read it, and I thought it was very different but very good, and that is The Lost Years.
Well, yes. Now, that book, my editor, Michael Cordes, said, Mary, why don't you write a book with a biblical background? I said, oh, come on, Michael, you know, how am I going to do that? But the idea seized on me, and I thought, now, who would have written a book? And I thought, maybe Michael was the one who came up with this. Suppose Christ had written a letter to someone, and the manuscript or the letter was in the Vatican, and the Pope was planning to get rid of it because there was too much controversy. And a monk was summoned, and he was given the letter, and they said, keep this safe. They took it out of the Vatican Library. And the way it goes is, and the letter was not seen again for 400 years until this story begins. And I thought, who would Christ have written to? And Joseph of Arimathea, if you see that in the Bible and in the Gospels, a long-time, quiet, devout follower of Jesus, and he was the one who gave his newly hewn tomb for the body to be buried. And I thought, suppose Joseph had seen Jesus when he was in the temple at age 12 and stayed there talking with the elders of the temple. And when Mary came back 3 days later, she said, behold, your father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And Joseph of Arimathea has heard this conversation, and the answer of Jesus was, did you not know that I must be about my father's business? And he knows that he has seen the Messiah and has kept in touch with him all his life. And that's why I thought that is the background for a book, and it's not sacrilegious or irreligious. So that's why The Lost Years.
Were you a little bit hesitant to maybe stray away from what you usually write, a different type of genre? It's, you know, it still involves mystery and thriller, but this was very different.
Well, in a sense, it isn't. A scholar finds the letter and is murdered for it, and the letter disappears. So it's really not, I don't think it is different, actually. It is a suspense novel. There is a main character, a young woman, whose father is a scholar. You have her mother being accused of the murder. And it was interesting to me to treat Alzheimer's because the woman has Alzheimer's and everyone thinks she did it. And the daughter knows that no matter how sadly crazy her mother is, she could not be a murderer. So I don't quite agree that it's you know, that it's not a straight suspense story.
We're speaking with Mary Higgins Clark. She is the best-selling, New York Times best-selling author. Her latest book is The Cinderella Murder. Mary, there have been authors, female authors and some male authors, who have coordinated with their daughters to write novels. And some of them are Jodi Picoult, Lisa Scottolini, some of the others escape me. But you yourself have written something with your daughter, have you not?
Oh, yes. You see, Carol has her characters. She writes humorous suspense. And I have two characters whom I've used in short stories and in a couple of the books, Elvira and Willie. They're in their 60s. Elvira was a cleaning woman and Willie a plumber, and they won $40 million in the lottery. And now they are solving crimes. So we coupled them with characters for Christmas mysteries, and we've had so much fun writing them. In fact, those were different. With Alla Fair, I meet her at the editor's office, and we talk about the plot and go over it and say, how about this, how about that? With Carol, we wrote the five of them side by side, and we just broke each other up because we wanted them to be funny. And sometimes we'd be up here in my office, and she'd say, okay, we sucked all the energy out of this room. Let's go downstairs, because she was the one on the computer. And we had so much fun writing them. At one point, we were laughing and laughing, and my husband came to the foot of the stairs of my office, and he called up, I hope the reading public finds this book as funny as you two do. That was a lot of fun.
Working with your children, and you mentioned that your grandparents were not around, so you couldn't hear stories from them. But what about you telling stories to your children? Did you tell them scary stories? And was that part of perhaps, like, in the back of your mind, you might have said, you know, this is something I may want to try out on them or maybe put it on paper?
Oh, you know, we joked, but I didn't really tell them scary stories. But I will say that when I was widowed young, I used to look under the beds at night after I locked the door to make sure that nobody was in there. And I used that in one of the books, Stillwatch, I think it was. And the guy is sleeping under the girl's bed. And Michael said, it's creepy, but he said, I don't believe he wouldn't have made a move or heard something. And I said, the girl would have heard something. I said, Michael, I have one of those high Victorian beds. It has a velvet dust ruffle. I said, I could stack people under it. And I said, I love the idea of she's uncomfortable. She doesn't know why she's uncomfortable. And the guy is under the bed. And he said, put him in the closet in the next room. So I did, but I said, Michael, I want you to know it is every woman's secret fear or hope that there is a man under her bed.
And that size of bed, as you mentioned, my gosh, I would need a bungee cord to jump off of it, I guess.
No, it was one of those. Actually, I still have it, and in one of the guest bedrooms. And it has those two little steps to get up to it, which, you know, a tall person wouldn't need. But I always loved that look in a bedroom. And I thought that someone is under the bed. And when in the version I gave Michael, the girl kicks off her slipper and the guy holds it on the other side so it doesn't go under the bed and she'll be fishing for it. And I thought, that's a lovely idea. I mean, nice and creepy.
We are visiting with a New York Times bestselling author, Mary Higgins Clark. Mary Higgins Clark has collaborated with Alla Fair Burke in her latest novel, The Cinderella Murder. Mary, you mentioned at the beginning about your suspense and telling a story and getting people scared without you having to use explicit sex or language, etc. And, you know, some of the people do that now, and of course that's their writing style. But as you know, in radio dramas, in the old movies, whether it be an Alfred Hitchcock movie or whatever, they leave it up to your imagination and the sound and everything else, and you kind of imagine that for yourself.
Well, it was just natural to me from the very beginning. I did not want to do the explicit sex or the violence. I think the sexiest words written in the 20th century were in Gone with the Wind. You'll not shut me out of your bedroom tonight, my dear. I mean, there's something so implicit in it. And, you know, Wuthering Heights is a passionate love story. Pride and Prejudice is a passionate love story, being told without the necessity of clinical details. And certainly, I think Alfred Hitchcock we all know he was a master, an absolute master at creating suspense without violence. The mind of the person is engaged in it.
We're speaking with Mary Higgins Clark. She is the best-selling author. Her latest book is The Cinderella Murder. Why is it, Mary, do you think that, you know, people love to be scared? And it goes back all the way, as I mentioned, to radio dramas. You had Inner Sanctum, Lights Out.
Love them. Absolutely love them. Well, there's something shivery delight about being frightened. Maybe, I don't know why. Maybe it started with Cain and Abel, because Adam and Eve had two kids and one killed the other. So what was the beginning of the human race? I said that once when I was on a panel, and there was a priest in the audience, and he stood up and he said, "We thank Mary for explaining the book of Genesis."
So they didn't get kicked out of the Garden of Eden for raising Cain.
Well, of course, that's a joke. But I mean,
yes,
there is something in our bodies, that our minds, that make us sort of fascinated by fear.
And even during the holiday periods, as you mentioned, you have several holiday thrillers, and one of them is called the Santa Cruz, and not Claus, but a cruise.
That was funny, because we were signing one book, and then they said, "What's the next one like?" And we said it will take place on a ship, but we said we haven't got a title for it yet. And somebody in the audience, the gal that was asking questions, said, "How about Santa Cruz?" And we said, "There we are. We have our title."
And Deck the Halls and the Christmas Thief, is that what it's called, or something like that?
Deck the Halls, the Christmas Thief.
Was that with your daughter?
Sure. We did five together.
What about the little girls? There's one about, I forget the title, Blue. She wore blue, or?
Oh, Two Little Girls in Blue.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. Well, that was about identical twins who were kidnapped, and they get one back, and they think the other is dead. And then the pediatrician sees that the one who is back is communicating with her sister. And I had read an article about the psychic coupling of identical twins. And you know Anderson Cooper, the newscaster?
Yes.
His mother is Gloria Vanderbilt. Her mother was Gloria Vanderbilt Sr. Gloria Vanderbilt Sr. was an identical twin. And when her sister gave birth in London, she collapsed in the Colony Club and was rushed to the hospital in labor pains. And that is the kind of connection that not all, but some identical twins have. If one of them gets a shot as an infant, the other one cries. They go out to buy dresses, and they separately, and they come back with the same dress. And there are countless examples of that. So I thought, suppose the twins are kidnapped, and then they get that one back, and the other one is putting a cloth on the head of her doll and says to them, "Kathy wants to come home right now." And I thought, that's a good premise.
We're visiting with New York Times bestselling author Mary Higgins Clark. Mary Higgins Clark has recently collaborated with Alifair Burke, who is also a bestselling author, for the latest novel. It's called Cinderella Murder. And basically the premise for a Cinderella Murder, it's about a program, a cold case series, revisiting unsolved crimes by recreating them with those affected. It's off to a fantastic start. And they want to help solve an infamous murder in the very first episode. And of course, I'll just leave it there. One of the students supposed to be at the show and doesn't show up, a UCLA student, but we're just going to tease you with that. And again, the name of the book is The Cinderella Murder. Mary, one of the things that we've touched on with other authors is, what is your take on audiobooks and also ebooks and Kindle books?
Well, I think there's room for all. I mean, all my books are on audio, and I love to put a tape, not myself necessarily, but obviously. But when you're on a long ride, you know, you can listen to the news just so much, and to have a story keeping you company as you ride. And it's a funny thing. Someone once said to me, "Mary, don't you think that the classics are rather better on audio than your books?" And I said, "Well, I don't know, Anne, but I'll tell you this. I was listening to the first copy of my own book, and I was so engrossed I went through a stop sign. E-books, you can put, I prefer to hold a book in my hand. Quite simply, I do. But when I was going on a cruise, I put five books on the Kindle, and that way I didn't have to carry five heavy books. I think there's a place for all of them.
And I think you're absolutely right. The fact that people can put so many books on the Kindle, they don't realize how big or how thick that book is because they just have this little thing and they may be reading a 500-page book or several of them. Mary, thank you very much for taking time to be with us today.
Oh, I love being with you. Thank you so much. It's been fun.
We've been visiting with Mary Higgins Clark. She is the New York Times bestselling author. The recent novel is The Cinderella Murder.
This is Primetime Postscript. I'm Mike Cuthbert. Thanks to their geographic isolation in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, the Hawaiian Islands are home to an incredible bounty of unique native plants. However, Hawaii has also become the endangered species capital of the United States, home to nearly 40% of the plants on that list. Field botanist Steve Perlman has been at the forefront of protecting Hawaii's endangered species, or rarest plants, for more than 40 years. Heidi Chang caught up with him.
Yeah, so this is the ileal. Well, it's going into flower right now. Ooh. But it's just as sticky as it can be. You know, it's just full of resins.
Oh, yeah.
When botanist Steve Perlman takes you hiking on the island of Kauai, you can tell he's passionate about preserving Hawaii's rich natural heritage. The state has 1,200 native plant species. 90% of them are not found anywhere else in the world. But that natural heritage has been disappearing because of invasive plants and animals, habitat loss due to agriculture and development, and unpredictable natural events such as hurricanes and droughts.
Feral animals are here and destroying the regeneration, but weeds are really a huge threat here. So
Perlman has been trying to reverse that trend for more than 40 years. He's one of Hawaii's original rock star botanists, literally. In the 1970s, he pioneered rappelling down high cliffs to save the Brinchmia insignis, a rare Hawaiian plant known as the alula.
A lot of the botanists in the old days, at least for the first couple hundred years working in Hawaii, would be able to hike the ridges and the valleys and find their species. But no one had ever really looked at the cliffs. And so once I learned how to rope onto the cliffs to get to the Brinchmia and pollinate them and get the seed, then I started using those same cliff climbing techniques to get to other plants.
Now in his 60s, Perlman is still rappelling off cliffs, working to save endangered plants that have managed to establish a foothold in places where ravenous goats and pigs can't reach them.
I would say that it's very dangerous, but the most dangerous part is really the falling rocks. Rather than your rope breaking or you didn't tie it right or your equipment failure, the rocks in Hawaii are very weathered and eroded. And so when you go down on a line, and yes, you have to not be very afraid of heights because you're often 1,000 feet or even up to 2,000 feet above the ocean or above a cliff. And if you fall, yes, you would die.
Although his rough terrain work is dangerous, Perlman says it's worth it to see a species survive. Perlman is now the statewide specialist for Hawaii's Plant Extinction Prevention Program. The program focuses on protecting species with fewer than 50 plants remaining in the wild. His explorations often take him to pristine places. He recalls an especially memorable expedition to the highest peak on the island of Molokai.
It's like being someone like a Charles Darwin who has just gotten to come to an island that no one's ever been to, and everything is interesting, the birds, the insects, the plants, and you're like the first person in this kind of place. So we may rediscover something old, or we may find something brand new. And so it's like the age of discovery is not really over. For them to see, and for their children or grandchildren to see, that's a huge legacy.
This has been the Primetime Postscript, made possible by AARP, and today, Heidi Chang. To hear more stories and postscripts, please visit aarp.org/radio.
Perspectives is taped and produced at the KTP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineers, Norma Martinez and Katie McCormick. You've been tuned to Perspectives. I'm Luis Sanz.